Good morning. We just welcome you this morning to Jenkins Church. It's been a week since some of you have seen each other, so let's just take a few moments and shake hands and just greet each other in the name of the Lord this morning. Good morning. Twice is okay. We just shut that off, didn't we? It's so good to see you all. The flowers that are on the table this morning are from Tom and Joanne's renewal of their wedding vows last night, and they're beautiful, and we are thankful that they have let us appreciate and enjoy them this morning. Any announcements that we have this morning?
Jennifer Lux graduated from college yesterday. And Tommy Clark. Okay. Anybody else? Building the Grounds Committee will meet at 5 o'clock today, unless you hear from them. Building the Grounds Committee will meet at 5 o'clock today. Kitchen Committee is next Sunday at 10. Session meets at 6 tonight. The session meets at 6, if you're a session member. You're welcome to come. You just don't get to vote if you're not an active elder. But you can discuss and ask questions. But session meets tonight, 6. Building and Ground. I'm not sure when the Christian Education meets. Does anybody have a word on that? I think they need to meet probably today, too. The youth are leaving after Sunday school or during Sunday school to take a little outing, and some of the adults are going with them, I think. So pray for them. They worked so hard last night, and people from the other churches were bragging on our young people. So thank you for making a good show. You always do, though.
Any other announcements this morning? Yes. Any other announcements? Any prayer request or praise report? I have an unspoken one. Anyone else?
Starting this week for lots of time.
And the teachers. All that.
Also,
retired is valuable, is if you retire or want to be retired. Because here, I guess about, I know where we're going, so I'm going to say about 11 o'clock. We're going to Franklin for a rest of the day, or lunch. So.
Anything else? Let's pause for a moment as we settle down and ask the Lord to come. He's here. It's always good to invite Him. We light the candles and we pause for a moment of silent prayer. Our gathering words are found in your bulletin, and they come to us from the Psalms and John and also from Matthew. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever.
Watch and be ready.
For you do not know on what day your Lord is coming.
Turning our hymnals to hymn 9. Hymn 9.
For prayer, if we would reflect on the words of that song, praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore Him. That's just a title. And we're expressing all of earth, all of creation, the call is to express our thanks, adoration of God, and to acknowledge His lordship and our servanthood. Lord, we come expressing Your value, Your worth. Lord, we come expressing our
pleasure to be your people, that you have called us. And Lord, you have called us to honor you and glorify you. And Lord, we want to offer honor and glory. We come with thoughts of praise and voices lifted to praise you. Thank you, Lord, for being our God and allowing us to be your people. Thank you for calling us into fellowship with you, into your kingdom. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, who came to be our Savior. And Lord, thank you that He was willing to leave heaven and come to earth to give His life to redeem us. Lord, bless us in this hour, that your name truly will be glorified. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. And now come praying as He taught His disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
The Apostles' Creed is also, when we say it, remember that the apostles long ago said this very same words, and that is unity in the whole Christian church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Our call to confession is found in Ezekiel. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Our prayer of confession is from Exodus. Merciful God, hear our prayer. When we have made lives bitter with hard service or cruel words, forgive us and guide us back to your path of love and compassion. When we have imposed ourselves or our agendas on those around us, forgive us and help us to listen and cooperate with loving hearts. When we have been the oppressor, forgive us and redeem us to be your people of justice and compassion. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we pray. We have assurance of forgiveness. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, sin would have swallowed us up alive. But thanks be to God who is on our side. In Christ Jesus, the bonds of sin and death have been broken, and we are forgiven. Amen.
Turn your hymnals now, please, to hymn 350. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Offertory sentence this morning is found from Deuteronomy. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Will our ushers come forward, please?
This morning, just worshiping you for these times.
There is that age-old question, when troubles and trials come to good people, Christians, church people, why does God allow those things to happen? And there's any number of people's responses to that. But there's one thing that I know for sure, that God is not mysterious, but He's wonderful. Now we've all heard it said that the Lord works in mysterious ways. Sometimes He'll even let us hurt ourselves to help us find His way. Oh, don't be afraid of what the Lord has in store. It'll always be more than you ever imagined for. Cause the Lord works in wonderful ways, as mysterious as it sometimes may appear. Yes, the Lord works in wonderful ways. He might turn your life around, but He will never let you down. Cause the Lord works in wonderful ways. Can you imagine how God must have felt when they drove those nails through Jesus' hands? When the sky went dark in that midday, it's when He had to turn His head. Oh, He paid the price so we'd suffer no more. He knew the greatest pain so we'd know the greatest joy. Cause the Lord works in wonderful ways, as mysterious as it sometimes may appear. Yes, the Lord works in wonderful ways. He might turn your life around, but He will never let you down. Cause the Lord works in wonderful ways. Yes, the Lord works in wonderful ways, as mysterious as it sometimes may appear. Yes, the Lord works in wonderful ways. He might turn your life around, but He will never let you down. Cause the Lord works in wonderful ways.
from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 7, and verses 11 through 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The Word of God for the people of God.
Days of Elijah. This is a revival song, and it needs to be sung that way. So we're missing the praise band, so you have to work very hard to make it sound revivalish.
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and blood, so we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Let the trumpet call with your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and our God triumphs in salvation. Days of Ezekiel, the travels becoming flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, you build in a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the feast of His light in the world. And we have a labor in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Let the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and God of triumph will salvation come.
There is no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Behold, He comes, breaking on the clouds, shining like the sun. Let the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. And our God triumphs in salvation and comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. As the trumpet calls,
Are we ready for the coming of the Lord to receive us into the heavenly kingdom? Let's think about our readiness and helping other people become ready. That is our responsibility as people who are ready to be involved, actively involved in inviting others to be a part of the kingdom. Can you think of training that you have received? It's almost time in our grandchildren's lives to be potty trained. And that might be the first training that you participated in. And then there was training to tie your shoes. Remember that? We even got to school and some people still could not tie their shoes. And I'm not sure that I could. I don't remember that one. And we tend to forget those things that we don't like to remember, so we just kind of forget them. And then they came out with Velcro. Well, we had buckles before that, and now Velcro shoelaces or latches, and we don't have to worry about tying our shoes. But we have a group here at the church now learning about quilting, being trained in quilting. Are you participating, Julie, in the quilting? And a good large group, and they quilt a while and visit a while and have fun a while. And then, how many has ever been trained about plowing? And I think we talked about plowing or kind of mischievous plowing last week. Man plowing in the field, was that last week? Discovered a treasure, plowed it up. Mechanicking, that's really not a word. Somebody said, I think, spell check or something, not a word. Learning to be a mechanic. And I kind of experimented in that just a little bit, but not for long. Finally, my stepfather said, if you don't know what you're doing, just leave the car alone. Because I had a time or two where it would not run, or if it did, it would not stop. So, two different situations. The brakes and something else. Driver training. How many of you are going to take driver training this year? Or maybe took it this summer? Ready for it? Teaching. We're training to teach. And Elizabeth is going back to school to learn to be a teacher. You have to have some training to be a teacher. Or they thought you did. You probably didn't need to, but they gave it to you anyway. Is that right? You have to have certain classes to be a teacher. There's many methods of training people. There's the classroom experience. That's not the most exciting one. Sometimes we go to the classroom and Drew, we hope we don't sleep through it. Good to see you this morning. Paul, who's going to college in a few days? Some classroom work within the high schoolers. It's so hot. We have air conditioning in school now. We remember air conditioning, don't we? Raise the windows. Maybe. If we were good. There is person-to-person training, or kind of a mentor training. And then there is on-the-job training, and that might be also person-to-person mentoring. And even lawyers and doctors. They didn't, before medical schools, they would get with a lawyer and work with him a while, or and then get with a doctor and work with him or her for a period of time and learn from somebody else on the job, observing. I had a cousin that observed other people swimming, and they were talking about going swimming, and they said, can you swim? He said, oh yeah. Well, have you ever, what's that word? Have you ever swam? No, that's not right. Have you ever swam or swum? See, which is right, swam?
Who knows? Have you ever played in the water and floated and stayed on top? All those kind of things.
Boy, if I would stay awake in class that day. Okay. Can you swim? And they said, oh, yeah. Well, have you ever? And they said, he said, well, no, but I've watched other people do it. So that was how he thought he had learned how to swim. Then he went and joined the Navy. He had to know how to swim then. I think he did learn. Preparedness.
We talk a lot about being prepared now, and I think years ago, we had Boy Scout Sunday. We had a Boy Scout troop in the church that I was pastoring then, and once a year in February, I think it was, they would come to church, and we would bust the walls out, because it was the super troop in the community. And we would fill every pew, and people would stand sometime, and I preached a sermon on how the Boy Scouts, be prepared. Be prepared. That's about all I learned in the Scouts, and then other things caught my interest. But being prepared has really been an emphasis in the United States, at least. I don't know about other countries, but since 9/11. And as I wrote 9/11 down, I said, what year was that? And then I thought, it really doesn't matter because we all can remember 9/11, just like the previous generation, it was 12/7, right? Pearl Harbor. I think I remember that day. The Bible is chock full of admonitions, calls, encouragements, challenges to be prepared. Sprinkled throughout, we have these words of encouragement to prepare. Many are preparations for death. We're called, many of the calls to preparation are to be prepared for dying. Be prepared for that next life. But there are also many calls in the Bible, many encouragements, many instructions, whatever you want to define them as, basically the same thing. How to live as God's people, and what to do as God's people. How to better be God's people in the world. Kingdom people. We're talking about kingdom. We talked about the kingdom for a few weeks. It's important. I think it's so important that we be prepared for death. Because just open your paper today and be in local state section and you'll see a number of people who died. And some of them would be real young. Like 2 weeks ago. Four recent graduates of East Magnet School. It's a literature school. I knew the parents of one of the persons, 19 years old, 136 IQ. That was one of them. I don't know about the rest of them. Valedictorian, I believe it was, of his high school class. In a magnet school at that. Well, I would have never gotten into the Baptist school. Shouldn't put myself down, but I'm just confessing the truth, I guess. But four lives lost. So we need to be prepared for death at all times. Prepared for the next life after this life. But many are called to prepare for service in building God's kingdom. And that's where I want to emphasize today. Preparing for service in building God's kingdom. And we might put it in just a few words. Preparing to be evangelists. Preparing to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The goal that kingdom people, your kingdom person, your kingdom people, the Apostle Paul even called all believers saints. For saints, saints of God, kingdom people becoming involved or more involved. So I'm saying, well, I'm already involved. And, you know, in the Christian community, is it ever enough? It's kind of like raising your children. If they get good at this, you're going to do a little better. And they say, well, I've got better. Well, try a little harder. Try a little harder. Kingdom people becoming involved or more involved in bringing
more people into the kingdom of God, are getting other people, additional people, ready for that next life. Preparing them, or helping them prepare themselves for death. So if there is an accident on the highway, they'll know Jesus is their Savior. All their sins will be forgiven. Amen. This is the last day that they live. They'll know that they'll spend eternity in heaven around God's throne. Ephesians 4, verse 12. All of God's people are intended to be involved in building God's kingdom. And He has appointed some to one office, some to another office, or has given gifts to some that they might function in a role. One is prophet, one is apostle, one is teacher, one is pastor, etc. That the church in general, the people in the church would be equipped, that they would grow up spiritually, mature spiritually, but they'd also grow up in number, grow in number. Spiritual gifts given to be used to train God's people for the work of service, so that the body of Christ, or the church, or God's kingdom may be built up. Built up, established in the faith, so that they will not be blown around by every wind and doctrine that comes down the pipe. And there's so many different emphases, or so much emphasis put on so many different aspects of the Christian faith, and some of them are false teachings. You read the total Bible, our total New Testament, you'll find, just listen to some of the garbage that's being expounded. Well, it sounds good, but it's part, a portion of the gospel. It's a portion of the gospel. The situation, as I see it, there is room for much more kingdom building in God's church, no matter what church it is. There's much more kingdom building needed. There's much more evangelism that needs to be done. We need to be doing the work of evangelists. And that's just a nice way to say that we don't know a whole lot of evangelizing. We haven't worked really hard in bringing unsaved people into the kingdom. Have we? I'm saying we. And I kind of shrug it off and say, well, that's not really my gift. But I'm still called to do it. To make an attempt to share the gospel. Steve Allamore, and I will even discuss briefly, as recently as last evening, Steve is teaching the sanctuary class. This will be his second week. A plug for that, if you'd like to have a plug. And he told me he's going to start a class, or start talking, or at least this week, talk about evangelism. Evangelism and Presbyterians. And that hasn't been Presbyterians' strong point. Hasn't. Not even Cumberland Presbyterians. We haven't done too much in evangelizing. So I guess you could say that we discussed Presbyterian and evangelism, or the lack of it in the Presbyterian systems, or most of them. We're not the best at it.
preparedness.
I kept thinking of a passage in the Bible that I had to go look up. Didn't know where it was, and I finally discovered where it was. It's in Galatians chapter 1. If you look, you can find those passages. Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians at Galatia, telling them or encouraging them to continue to trust in Jesus, in His death for their salvation, rather than in going back to the law. They were being blown around by the wind and doctrine, and he had come to the Galatians and preached to them salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Then somebody came along and said, no, you got to go with this. You're not really saved unless you do this, 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 and this. You go read Galatians to find all that out. And Paul wrote to them a kind of a stinging letter, but he gave a testimony of his own preparedness and his own training to be a good evangelist. And one thing he said, he went down to Arabia. And then he went up to Jerusalem. And then he went to even Damascus. He went many places. Jim, will you check the air? Thank you. The temperature has changed. It was 68 when we came in. I didn't want to turn on the air then. And did we? Didn't want to turn on the heat either, so we kind of left it, but I see people fanning. Okay. Paul told how he had spent time here and time there in preparation for evangelizing, preparation for being a missionary, preparation for being a witness for Christ. And I challenge you to go read Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 1. It was preparing for service in God's family, building God's family, work of the kingdom. Now, in the church, we have educational institutions to train preachers. We have college, Bible schools, seminaries, that's the preacher school, what we call them. We have training there for ministers and teachers and youth workers and preachers and evangelists. And some of the graduate schools of theology or seminaries will have a department of evangelism. Some will have a department of missions. Emphasize on missionary work, or you emphasize evangelizing. These are professionals. And we find that in verse 11. We're being real biblical, we think, here. Verse 11 talks about God has appointed some to one office and some to another and some to another. Everybody don't have the same gifts. God hasn't given everybody the same gifts. As He sees fit. And we're trained. And we get a little training in other things. We can't specialize in just one thing, especially in the small church. Have to do more than one thing. And then, but the church should be involved, the local church should be involved and is involved in training also, in the training process, in preparing people to be involved in the building process. And we find that in verse 12. I have an illustration I wanted to tell, and it kind of, I thought, inspired this sermon. Back in 02, way back there, well, back in the 60s, I guess, late 60s, early 70s, I think it's still in the 60s, doesn't matter. Spent all day trying to figure out when it was. I went home, and my mother took me down to J.C. Penney's. Anybody ever shopped at J.C. Penney's? She bought me a suit. It was that, what's that material that's kind of going out of style now? That didn't wrinkle? No, the other one. Polyester. Polyester suit. And it was about this color. Boy, didn't I look good in a suit this color? Went to JCPenney's and got this suit. But you know, when I bought the suit, she paid for it. We couldn't stay in JCPenney's. We didn't buy that suit for me to just hang around JCPenney's and walk around and model it for other people. That suit was bought for me to get out of JCPenney's and go and do the work of ministry. Okay? The dressing room wasn't big enough for me to put a recliner in or a bed in. I didn't buy the suit just to work in JCPenney's. I bought the suit to get out to preach. Okay? Maybe something like that, but maybe that's a little older. Another thing, I worked at a service station. If we go to the next one. I worked at a service station the summers of 61, 62, 63, and 64. And I thought I was pretty good service station attendant. I could hit that island, and I could wash those windshields, and I could get that gas in. And sometimes, though, I would leave part of the paper on the windshield wiper, and one boss would come out and say, "Get all that decoration off of that car. Don't let the people drive off with a corner of the paper towel that I was cleaning windshield." Some of you don't even remember when this happened at service station. About half of you never heard of it. But we'd go into a gasoline fill-up place, or it'd be a quick stop now, and they changed oil and all like that. And those doors over to the side, looks like they're boxed in now, but they would raise, and you'd pull your car in there, and they would service it. They would change the oil. There was a wash bay. There was a tire changing bay on some of them. And that's a standard station, I think, S-T-A-N-D. And I worked at the standard station. Savannah found this picture for me. Worked at a Texaco and a standard and an SO. Couldn't keep a job. Had to keep floating around, see. But we never serviced a car to just sit in the service station parking lot. You know what we service cars for? We service trucks. We service telephone trucks. That was a big account. We service gravel trucks. We service the big boy gravel trucks or the big boy trucks that hauled around the equipment that moved dirt. But we never service one and intended for it to sit in the parking lot because we didn't have room. Every car or truck that we service to get out on the road. That's why they come in and buy gas. That's why they have their windshield cleaned. That's why they have their air in their tires checked. July, Sunday afternoon, hot, hot, hot. But they want their air checked. And they have to take off four hubcaps to get it checked. Okay. And then they never service the car just to set in the parking lot. They wanted to get on the road. And I can see this. Relate this to the church. Sometimes we bring people to church just to stay in church. And we fail to get the message over that we're equipping people, preparing people to go out and do the work of the Lord out in the community. And then that Corvette there. I did a story on a car restoration person. I talked to Lanny McGowan last night. And Lanny's got 10 or 15 or how many cars does Lanny have? He has a bunch of them. He's restored old cars and not so old cars. So I said, "Lanny, why do you restore a car?" He didn't understand what I was asking. I said, "Do you restore a car to take it and hide it in the back room and cover it up and let it sit there?" He says, "Oh no, we restore them to show them. We restore them to drive them." And he said, "If we don't drive them, they just fall apart again. You got to use them," he said. Got to use them. Folks, hopefully church is. Hopefully Sunday school is. Hopefully worship is. Hopefully preaching is. Hopefully the singing is to equip you to go out and witness in the community. Wherever you go. I've got two or three more illustrations, but time is gone. And let's pray. Lord God,
Thank you for the church. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you call us from Satan's kingdom into your kingdom. Thank you that you call us to prepare for death, but also life, serving you here where we are, in the here and the now. And Lord, instill within us the desire to use the talents, the gifts that you have given us for your honor, your glory, and the building of your kingdom.
Softly and tenderly is the song. What is the name? The number?
326.
Let's stand together. You may even want to come here and kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. A commitment for some work in your kingdom. Let's sing the first and the last stanza.
Thank you.